Okay, so when Yaakov Avinu went to sleep, in Parshas Vayetze, it says, "Vayikach me'avnei hamakom v'yasam ra'asheisef." He took from the stones that were there. The expression "me'avnei hamakom" sounds like it was multiple stones. And then later it says, "Vayikach es ha'even asher sam ra'asheisef." He took the stone. So Rashi brings down to Gemara and Chulin that Hakam first says there were multiple stones, and then at the end it says there was one stone. His chilu ha'avonim rivay zayim zayi, that the stones started to fight with one another. Each one said that the tzaddik should put his head on me. So Akash Baruch made an ace and they became one stone. And that's why at the end it says, so one time, many years back, I was at a Shabbos table. We were talking about this Rashi, this Medrash, and one of my children asked the question, but stones don't talk. Stones don't talk. Now, the kasha is a great kasha.
And it's, don't talk.
Stones don't talk. What do you mean, Abba, that the one stone said that tzaddik should put his head on me? I have stones outside. The stones don't talk. It's a good kasha.
Yeah, good kasha.
So, and of course, it's a kasha that you can ask on so many midrashim, and the moon doesn't talk, and the sun doesn't talk, and you know, the so many midrashim. And the answer, I think, the donkey really did talk. No, the donkey really did talk.
Walls can't hear. Right. We say walls are listening, they hear.
So the answer, we're fairly consistent, that Enochanami, that when Midrashim tell these kinds of stories, the purpose of the Midrash is not to tell history and, you know, and to tell the story. The purpose of the Midrash is to convey an idea using concrete, a concrete story to convey an abstract message, but the purpose of the Medrash is the message, not the story. That's the general principle. But in this particular case, when I was asked this question, it was a good opportunity because this particular Medrash is the example, an example that the Ramchal uses. You know, the Ramchal, he's best known for Maseilas Yesharim. That's his magnum opus. At least that's what he's most well known for in the world, even if that wasn't his main avodah. But he has a short essay called the Maimar al Ha'agadais, in which he says, like really most people that wrote about Agada say what I was just telling you, that Chazal were using this terminology, the way he puts it, that they were trying to sort of hide their, they didn't want everybody to understand, but they wanted to convey things that you should be able to figure out. But the idea that these midrashim have an abstract meaning, but in his main work, in his Maseilas Yesharim, in the very first chapter, he quotes this very midrash, and you see the Ramchal in action, using midrashim or agaritas the way they were meant to be used. The Ramchal in his the first parak of Maseilas Yesharim, it's called Chavis Adam Ba'ilama. That's the name of the parak, and he talks about how a person is in this world because this world is full of conflicts and choices and things pulling us in different directions, and there's really the purpose of our being here is so that we can come closer to Hashem and overcome the temptations. It's a whole paragraph along these lines. And he writes in one of the paragraphs, he says that there's a struggle going on between the man and the world, the physical world, but both sides are in it together, so that when the physical world succeeds in bringing the man down, so it's a yirida both for man and for ha'olam kuloi, for the world. And in contrast, when the man succeeds in using the physical world to serve Hashem, then it's an aliyah both for him and for the ha'olam kuloi. And he says, and that's the meaning of the Gemara in Chulin that says that each one of the avanu was saying, alaya niech tzadik es reishai. Brings this Gemara in Chulin, meaning to say that if the world is there for the tzaddikim to serve Hashem, the world is there for the tzaddikim to serve Hashem with it. All the physical items in the world, their tafkin in the world is that the tzaddikim should use them to serve Hashem. So a stone reaches its tafkid. A stone can't do anything itself to reach its tafkid, but a stone's tafkid gets fulfilled when it's there in the service of the tzaddik. But when it's not there in the service of the tzaddik, then it never reaches its tafkid. So the ratzayin of the stone, if a stone had ratzayin, which is another way of saying how a stone reaches its tafkid, is when it's serving the tzaddik. So that's what the Gemara means when it says that each stone says Alayin Niach Tzaddik is Raisha. And it doesn't just mean the stones around Yaakov Avinu. It means the stones of the world are saying Alayin Niach Tzaddik is Raisha. And it doesn't just mean the Niach is Raisha, right? If you use it to build a base medrash and you learn Torah in it, that also fulfills the tafkid of the stone. But when a stone is being used, a stone or a piece of wood or anything else, an item in the physical world, when it brings man away from his avodas Hashem, so it's a yirid for him and for the man, for it and for the man. But when the man uses it to serve Hashem, then it's an aliyah for the man and for the item. And so the items in the world, their ratzon, all the items, their ratzon is we want to be mishamish the tzaddik. That's what Chazal means to be saying when it says that each of the stones is saying alayin yeh tzaddik is reishai. That's Mrs. Sharm in the first parak, and it's again his point over there is to tell us about Avodas Hashem. But as an aside, we got a very, very nice lesson from a master in how to learn an Agadat Gemara. That's what shtickle in Mrs. Sharm is giving over.
To make a bracha on food, it elevates.
Yes, food. Right, same idea, right? When we make a bracha on food, that's elevating the food, right?
So we can't take it literally. The 12
right.
Seven stones turned into one? That didn't happen?
I think that's what Ramchal sounds like, right? That didn't happen, or at least that didn't necessarily happen. That's not really relevant to the point of the Medrash, whether right. It did happen or it didn't.
Right.
Now, we're taking this Medrash as a departure point for a halacha discussion. There's a kasha and a teretz about this Medrash that the Eliyahu Rabba asks in the context of a discussion on Hilchas Tefillin. In Hilchas Tefillin, there's a halacha, there's a lot of halachas having to do with Ma'al Mekodesh Ein Meridin. So, for example, it says in Simin Mem Beis that the Kedusha of the Shal Rosh is higher than the Shal Yad, and so if you have a Ritzua, you have a spare Ritzua from a Shal Rosh, and you want to use it for your Shal Yad, you're not allowed, because Ma'al Mekodesh Ein Meridin. Such a strict halacha, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah writes that even if you don't have an alternative, you have two Shal Reish Ritzuas, and you have no Shal Yad Ritzua. So if we don't let you use this for your Shal Yad, obviously, you'd untie it, and if you know what you're doing, you untie the knot, and you put it through the Shal Yad, and you retie the knot, and then it'll work. But you're not allowed to do that, because that's a Yerida in the Kedusha. And the Shabur says, so even though that means that you're not going to be able to put on a Shal Yad today, and really you could, you have the materials, but you're not allowed. So there's such a halacha. So the Eliyahu Rabba declared, what about, I have one Ritzua. Let's say I have a Shal Yad and I have a Ritzua. I have all the materials that I need. But it's getting frayed at the top. What I'd like to do is untie the knot, because I'm afraid this knot's not going to hold too much longer. Untie the knot and turn it around, so that the kesher, the part of the ritzua that had been the kesher, will be at the bottom of the strap that I'll be wrapping around my finger. And the end of the ritzua that I was wrapping around my finger yesterday, I'm now going to put at the top to tie the kesher. The objection would be, Ma'al Mekodesh Ein Meridin, because the kesher obviously has a higher level of kedusha. That's the Iker Mitzvah. Maybe even, as we'll see soon, it might even have more than just as the Iker Mitzvah. It might be part of Hashem's name. But at the very least, it's the Iker part of the Mitzvah. What I wrap around my finger really is just extra. That's not Me'ikir Adin, that's just Minhag. So to take the top of the kesher and put it down at the bottom maybe is a problem. So Eliyahu Rabba says, he, as a Paisek, Eliyahu Rabba is a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, as a Paisek, he's thinking about this Shaila, and he remembers a drasha that his father said on Parshas Vayetze. His father said, he said over this Gemara, that each of the stones, there were 12 stones that Yaakov took, and each one was saying, Alayin Yech Tzadik Esrei Shai. And it was a fight, so Shmaruch wanted to make them all happy, so Nasbam Nes, and they became one stone. So he says, my Zeda asked, he says his Zayda, who was like a Dayan in Prague, he was also a Dayan in Prague, who was in the family. And his Zayda asked the Kasha, after the Nais, why did that make them happier? So now there's still a part of the stone that's by the head and a part of the stone that's by the feet, and the part that's by the feet was saying, hey, no fear, why am I by the feet? I want to be the part that the Tzaddik puts his head on. So Elamai, we see from here, he said, as Zayda said, we see from here that once it's a single item, so that any chashivus that any part of the item has, that chashivus pertains to the whole entire item. This is the Evan that the Tzaddik's head is on. And even if the molecules, the particles that are by the feet, it's the same Evan. So that also has the chashivus of the Tzaddik's head being on it. So, and if that's true, then I could turn my Ritzua around and put the Kesher at the bottom, because it's not a Yerida, because even as I'm wrapping around my fingers, this Ritzua has a Kesher on it. Yesterday, this Ritzua had a Kesher on it. Today, this Ritzua still has a Kesher on it. The Kesher is not here, the Kesher is up there, but it's all one Ritzua. And this item has the Chashivas that there's a Kesher on it, so that Chashivas pertains to the whole entire item. So the part that I'm wrapping around my finger, which yesterday was tied in a knot, that part also has the chashivas of a kesher today. So there's no yirid in the kedusha. So he wanted to pask in this shayla. By the way, a lot of the poets talk about this shayla. It seems so foreign to us nowadays because we live in this affluent society, and there's never any shortage of materials. And if something is a little bit broken, a little bit torn, you just replace it. But once upon a time, it wasn't like that. Then somebody got a tefillin by his bar mitzvah, and the tefillin were not high quality. They didn't come from Behemoth Gasa. They came from a daka, and it was shvacha leather, and it was expected to last you the rest of your life. And it got patched and frayed, and yet turn it around and try to figure out what to do with it. So this was a relevant shiloh. And the Eli Rabbah said he wanted to paskin that it's okay, that you're allowed to turn it around based on this shtickel that his Zayda said about the stones by Yaakov Avinu, the Alayni Yassadik Israishai. Then he writes, Shuv Nidfas Sefer Mogen Avram. And after that, the Sefer Mogen Avram was printed, and I saw over there that he assers, so I take it back. So it's asser. So I was a little surprised by that comment, the Shuv Nidfas Sefer Mogen Avram. The Mogen Avram is before the El Yerab, but the Mogen Avram, just to put things a little bit into context, when you open a Shulchan Aruch, the two main mafarshim at the top of the page, where from a Gemara where the Rashi and Tosfos go. So in Shulchan Aruch, you also have mafarshim on the right and the left of the main text, and the identity of those two mafarshim changes depending on which volume of the Shulchan Aruch you're in. Mm-hmm. If it's Arachayim, it's the Magen Avraham and the Taz. If it's the Eridea, it's the Taz and the Shach. If it's Chesha Mishpat, it's the Shach and the Sma. And if it's Eben Ezer, then it's the Chalkas Machoikik and the Beis Shmuel. Those are called the Nisei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Magen Avraham and the Taz, they have that position on Arachayim. And the Eli Rabbah, I thought, was a little bit after the Magen Avraham. When I looked up the dates, I saw it was really a little closer than I had realized. But he is after, meaning a little bit younger, at least, than the Magen Avraham. I was a little surprised that he was writing his Sefer, and then he says, Shuv Nidfas, Sefer Magen Avraham, like he was writing the Sefer before there was a Magen Avraham, and then there was a Magen Avraham. And it turns out that there's a whole story behind the development of the Sefer of the Magen Avraham. The story is told in the Hakdama, which he didn't write. He didn't write anything about the Sefer, but his son, who ended up printing it, he writes in the Hakdama that when his father wanted to get it printed, so he gave it to his brother. I mean, his father gave it to his brother to see if he could get it done. Getting it done means raising money. So basically, he was asking his brother to raise money for it. And we don't have the details, but we know two things. One, that he failed, and two, that he failed miserably. What do I mean? Because he ended up, the Sefer did not get printed in his father, in the Magen Avraham's life. The Magen Avraham, Ravram Abel Gumbiner is his name. He died without seeing the work published. But what was worse than that is that they lost ownership of the work also. He doesn't explain how it happened, but I'm assuming that somehow in the process of trying to raise money, he must have, there's a little bit of guesswork here, maybe used it as a mashkin, that he, you know, he made a deal with somebody and, you can hold on to this, I'm borrowing money, I'm gonna raise the money, I'm gonna bring it back, and then ultimately he lost the rights to the Ksav Yad. So it was out of the family. And when the son, when after the Magen Avraham was Nifter, his son came along and he wanted to print his father's work. So the first thing he had to do was fight for the Ksav Yad. And again, it doesn't give details over there. As far as I know, this Hakadama is the only document that we have that tells the story. And he doesn't really give details. But he says that he was fighting with them and getting Rabbanim involved, and they wouldn't listen to anyone. Apparently it was Yidden, he was all through the Rabbanim. But even though there were Rabbanim that said that you have to give it back so that it could be printed, he wouldn't listen until there was a psak from the Vat Arba HaRatzais. Back in the 1600s, the Vat Arba HaRatzais was still a powerful organization. And their word was the law. And they had government powers. I don't know if they could have put the guy in jail, but I don't know exactly what their powers were. But they had real powers that were recognized by the government.
Wouldn't get an aliyah.
And I think more than that. More than the kind of pressure that a regular Bati Dinim could give. The Vat Arba HaRatzais had real power, and maybe he really could have gone to jail. So they forced these bad guys. The lesson over there is that it fell into Yadim Zarim. These Zarim were forced by the Vat Arba HaRatzais to return it, and then this Chaim, the Reb Chaim, the son of the Magen Avraham, he eventually came to get it printed. Problem was, so now this is the second round, the second attempt to get it printed, but he still needed the money, right? And the family never had any money, and he was no better off than his uncle was. So what happened? There was a Yid who had a printing press named Rav Shabsai Bess. Now, his name is not well known. Nobody knows the name of Shabsai Bess, but everybody knows his Sefer. The Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi Al HaTorah, that's printed in the Mekoreis Gedolos, and even in standard Chumashim, many Chumashim have on the bottom the Iker Sifsei Chachamim. It's the by far the most widely used Pirush on Pirush Rashi. So it was written by this Rav Gershon Bess. I'm sorry, Rav Shabsai Bess. And this Rav Shabsai Bess, he, besides from being a Talmud Chacham, he's the author of this Sefer, he was also a businessman and he had a printing press. So this Rav Chaim, the son of the Magen Avraham, he came and he said, I have a commentary from my father on Arei Chaim, I want to get it printed. And you're a printer? And he said, okay, yeah, but what's in it for me? Do you have the money to pay? He didn't have the money to pay for it. So he decided, but this Rav Shabsai Bess, he said, okay, maybe I have use for this. I'm going to put out a Shulchan Aruch, and this is going to enhance my product. So maybe I should do it on my dime. He was putting out a Shulchan Aruch with, I mentioned before that the two commentaries on Arei Chaim are the Magen Avraham and the Taz. This is in 1692. Both of them weren't printed yet. All the other Sfarim that I mentioned, the Taz on the other volumes, the Shach, the Smad, the Chagig, the Beis Shmuel, they were all printed. And Arei Chaim, the Arei Chaim, which is the most widely used volume of Shulchan Aruch, didn't have a commentary. So this Shabsai Bess saw a business opportunity. He's going to put out a Shulchan Aruch Arei Chaim he got his hands on two commentaries, one the Magen Avraham, and the other that he called the Magen David. The Magen David is actually the Taz. The Taz, he had printed his own work on Yerideya, and he called it Turei Zahav. Taz is short for Turei Zahav, and that's how he's known. But his work on Arei Chaim actually has a different name. Everybody in the world calls it the Taz, but if you look on the page in the Shulchan Aruch, on the top of the page, it says Magen David. Now,
which says Moganovis, it's called that set.
That's what the volume is called.
The whole volume, yeah.
Interesting, because what it was called then was Magine Eretz. Maybe that's what it, maybe that's Moganovis.
Yeah.
So he printed this as Magine Eretz. It was a Shulchan Aruch Arachayim with the Magen Avram and the Magen David, and it's interesting. The Magen David, then it says in parentheses Taz, because that's what everyone calls it. Magen Avram says in parentheses Nun Yud, and it says in the Hakdama that he had decided, the son of the Magen Avram, he never heard from his father that he gave his work a name. He didn't write a Hakdama. He didn't give it a name. He just wrote a commentary. And he had this ksaviyat. He decided he was going to call it Magen Avram. His father's name was Avram. I'm not sure. I don't remember if it says over there a reason why he was calling it Magen. And then he met some talmidim of his father who told him about a conversation that one time they were asking him, like, nonchalantly, what would be a good name for your sefer? And just off the top of his head, he said, let's call it Ner Yisrael. Yashu Davis, Ner Yafashel Reb Avram Levi. He was a Levi, Reb Avram Levi. So, Ner Yisrael. And it wasn't really thought out, but, you know, off the top of his head, when they asked him, give it a name, so that's what he said. So, he said, okay, so Ner Yisrael is what my father called it, but I wanted to call it Magen Avram after him, so I'm calling it Magen Avram Ner Yisrael. So, I think that Shabsei Bess, when he wanted to put put out the Shulchan Aruch, he had the Magen Avram that the author's son named the Magen Avram. He had this pirush from the Taz, which didn't have a name yet because the name of his pirush on Yerideya was Turei Zav. He could give it any name. So I think he named it Magen David. The Taz's name was David, so he named it Magen David so that it would, you know, go together, the Magen Avram and the Magen David, and he gave a title to the whole work, Magine Eretz. I once met a Yid, a fine Yid, but very, very ignorant, who showed me that he had an old sefer from his grandfather, and it looks like a impressive volume, but he never heard of this sefer. It's called Magine Eretz. That was the only title on the older editions. It didn't say Shulchan Aruch on it. He was holding a Shulchan Aruch. The sefer that this Yid had from his grandfather was a Shulchan Aruch. But it didn't say Shulchan Aruch. It said Magine Eretz. That's the way it was printed then. The volume on Aruch Chaim was called Magine Eretz because it had the Magen David and the Magen Avram, which, again, each one has multiple titles. At any rate, that's the story behind the printing the Magen Avram. Just an aside, once we're, I guess, going a little bit Me'inyan Le'inyan, a postscript to this Reb Shabsei Bess, whom we all know, he's the Sifzei Chamor and Rashi. He had this printing press, and as the owner of the printing press, so he was responsible for whatever was printed in it. He wound up in jail. He spent a few months in jail because there was some sefer that was printed that had the Rashi Tevois Ayin Chof Vav Mem. All Svarim have that Rashi Tevois. It's a very, very common Rashi Tevois in all rabbinic writings. Akum, right? We all know the word Akum. Now, the Yidden always said, you know, that the Goyim in Europe, they shouldn't feel bad, even if it says things in our Svarim about Goyim, but it says, Akum, Ovdi Chavim Mazalis. That means it doesn't mean you, right? Because you're not Ovdi Chavim Mazalis. Somebody came up with a Einfal that Ayin Chav Vav Mem stands for Ovdei Christus Umaria. And it means Dafka the Christians. And he now this is the most ubiquitous Rashi Tevis. It's in every sefer from every printing house. But this the Sifzei Chacham, I mean, he went to jail because of that. Anyway, coming back to where we were holding. So when he put it out, just before we come all the way back, when we're getting back, we're talking about the El Yerah, but when Reb Shabsei Bess put out the Magine Eretz, he got haskamas from many rabbis. One of the people that gave haskamas is the El Yerabba. And he writes over there that it's my old Rebbe, the Magen Avram. When I was younger, I learned by him. So he had a relationship already with the Magen Avram. He writes that in his haskama to the Magine Eretz. Coming back to what he writes in Simon Membeis of his Sefer. So he said he was clearing this Shaila about flipping the ritzua, putting the top on the bottom and the bottom on the top, maybe it's a problem of Mal Mukesh Vein Meridim. Then he decided, based on his grandfather, Shukul Torah, about a lion, he decided that it's not an issue, he was going to be matre. Shuv Nidfas, Sefer Magen Avram. And over there he saw that the Magen Avram discussed the same Shaila, and he said that it's Asar. The Magen Avram brought a raya from Tosfos Masechta Shabbos, where it says that they marked the Krushim to know, it wasn't about marking them, but he says that when they stored the Krushim, they were makbid not to put them like this, you know, the top of one next to the bottom of the other, but they would lie them down like this, that the tops were next to the tops, the bottoms were next to the bottoms, even though there's an opinion that they were tapered, which would make it much easier. It would be much, you know, you'd save a lot of space if you could put them reishis lezebesad tzayfish alzeh. But they wouldn't do that mishum kavoy, that the head of one shouldn't be next to the bottom of the other. Magen Avram said, that's a raya that we don't say that if it's one entity, so whatever chashivas is on part of it is on the whole thing. There's a head and there's a foot. It's the opposite of this vart that the lion yechzadik is reishoi, you know, the part that's by the foot does not have that chashivas, according to the svar of the Magen Avram that he's proven from the Tosfos. But the Eli Rabba says that it's a Tosfos, you know, it's the Magen Avram, the Magen Avram paskin that way. So that's the bottom line. So he retracted the chiddush that he had wanted to say based on his grandfather's Dvar Torah on the parasha. What do you do about the Dvar Torah on the parasha? So he doesn't say, but so in the Shari Tshuva, he says, it could be that, again, the kasha was, why did the fight stop? If the Yaakov's head was at one at the top of the stone, so the bottom part of the stone should still have been upset. So he says, it was a Maisa Nisim. Right? The Medrash is telling a miraculous story. So once it was a Maisa Nisim, maybe the Nes was such that some particles of each of the stone got mixed up into all the other stones. Maybe, and that's why
they didn't fight.
And that what?
The Nes was that they didn't fight.
That's a better tarot. That's a better tarot. The Nes was that they didn't fight. And then he says, a second thought, he says, maybe Amy and Ryan and Hadrush.
No.
that's always a good answer to these. He says, you have a kasha on this Agarati Gemara. Can we really pass Kana Shaila based on that? The Magen Avram said that it's Asr, it's Asr. Yeah, this was a Shekel Torah to be Matrit, but that's it, it's Asr. So the Eli Rabba, before we go from his chiddush, he had wanted to say he wanted to apply this to another area of halacha, very interesting, which I think is something we might have talked about once before. There's a very widespread minhag, I think all Yidden except for the Lubavitchers do this widespread minhag of an atara on the talus. I don't mean necessarily a silver atara on the talus, but an atara meaning something that indicates which is the top of the talus and which is the bottom of the talus. If I'm not mistaken, I've been told that in Lubavitch, the bedafka will switch it around. One day this will be on top, one day the other will be on top. There's no simon which is the top, and they don't keep a top. Mm-hmm. But there's a widespread minhag that there's something that indicates which is the top of the talus, and that part goes on your head every day. And the Mishnah Berura brings down, the Mishnah Berura and Siman Yud brings down, I don't remember who he quotes it from. I think he quotes it from the Oil Es Tamid. That the reason is because the part that's on top, if you wear it on top of your head, so that's a higher level of Kedusha, and then if tomorrow that goes down to the bottom, so there's a Eimei Ridin problem. Dr. Eli Rabba, not according to me, right? According to Eli Rabba, Shekel Torah, that any chashivas that one part of the item has, the whole item shares the chashivas. So there shouldn't be anything wrong with going down to the bottom. Dr. Eli Rabba, I think that the minhag of Atara is for a different reason. It's because, again, the minhag was that there would be an extra piece of fabric by the head. He says the reason is because the part that's on your head absorbs the most sweat. And if there wasn't an extra piece of fabric, it would wear out sooner. It would fray. We'd be afraid that it would get frayed, like we said before. So therefore, there's an extra piece of fabric. And once you put an extra piece of fabric, so you make it nice. Mishum hidr mitzvah. But he said it's a very practical consideration. That he says that l'shitasai, because l'shitasai, there shouldn't be any concern of Malam Chayshvei Meridin. Again, that's, I mean, l'shitasai, before he was Chayzer. This Shekel Torah had one nafkamin and halchas tefillin and one nafkamin and halchas tzitzis, but then he ends up retracting it.
So the tzitzis on the bottom of the tablets must be going crazy. Because they why don't they complain that they should be on the top?
You're right. Yeah.
But only if you have Abba Kanfus do you need tzitzis. Only if you have that beged with four quarters. Where are you going to put it on top?
See, on my talis, I think on Yaakov Avinu's talis, they go crazy, like you said, because he's a tzaddik.
Yeah, yes.
just a joke.
Now, this...
I'm curious, any reason you know why Lubavitch does not do it?
I don't know. This...
Eli Rabba, the original one.
Right. According to him, there's no reason to know, but it's more than that though, because there's a part there not to. This chiddush of Eli Rabba that he himself retracts, but Lamaisa, it seems that there's a makor in Rishonim to this shita. There's a very widely discussed big machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Comes up in a few places in Shas. There's a Gemara in Menachas Daf Lamed Hey. It says V'yaru V'ro'u Kol Ame Aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Ha'olecha V'yaru Mimeka. Amar, I think Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar Gadol, maybe Elu Tulin Shabaresh. Then when it says in the pasuk, like this is in the Brachos and Parshas Kisava, it says that when the Yidden are doing the mitzvahs, everything is going good for them. So the Goyim are going to look at the Yidden and they're going to see the Shem Hashem upon them and they're going to be afraid. Elu tefillin shavareish. So Rashi asks, why daf tefillin shavareish? Why not the tefillin shavareish? What would you say the tefillin? Why is it singing out the tefillin shavareish? So Rashi says, because the pasuk refers to the Shem Hashem, and the Shem Hashem is mostly in the tefillin shavareish. Because the Shem Hashem of the tefillin is the shin on the side of the bayis, the shel reish, the dalid on the Kesher on the back of the Shal Reish, and the Yud, which is the Kesher on the Shal Yad. So there's three letters that form Shem Hashem. Two out of the three letters are on the Shal Reish, so that's why the Gemara mentions the Shal Reish.
It's the only one exposed.
Ah, so Tosfos says, I think there's a much simpler pshat. It says exactly what you said. That's exactly Tosfos' pshat. Tosfos says that it's not because of having the majority of the letters. It's because that's the one that's exposed. That's the one that people could see. The Shal Yad is supposed to be covered. The Shal Reish is supposed to be exposed. That's the Shal Reish. There's an interesting Baal Truma al Torah on that pasuk. Baruch Kol Amei Haaretz Ki Shem, the Shin, Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's a Yud. Nikra is a Nun. So Shin Yud Nun spells Shin. So v'ro kal amei aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alacha is v'ro kal amei haaretz ki shin alacha. So that's like Tosfos. That's just it's the Shal Reish itself that it's referring to. Al kapanim, so Rashi has these two different pshatim in the Gemara, but Tosfos says Rashi's pshat is not correct. The reason why, besides that, Tosfos has a very simple pshat, like Ravitz said, that Tosfos pshat is just simple. You don't need another pshat. But he says Rashi's pshat can't be correct because what Rashi said about the there are three letters of Hashem's name here, it's not true. There's really only one. There's halacha moshe we see now that you have to have a shin on the side of the bayis of the shel reish. That shin stands for the Shem Hashem. That's true. The dalet and the yud though are not halacha moshe we see now. They're not a part of the original halachas tefillin. They developed later. The halacha is just that you have to have a kesher. You have to tie a knot, whatever knot you know how to make. You can make a necktie knot, a sailor's knot, but there's a...
Fisherman's knot.
Fisherman's knot. Midrabanan, there's a halacha that you should put it in the shape of these letters, but those aren't real, they don't have the real chashivas of ICIs. Zok Tosfos, this is not just a semantical question, are they real ACIs? They're not real ACIs. If Rashi was right that they're real ACIs, then it would have the Ritzua would have a Kedusha of Hashem Hashem. Now, the Gemara in Megillah, the Megillah Daf Chavav, the Gemara brings down a Braisa that says that different items have different levels of Kedusha. The purpose of the Braisa over there is really to make a contrast between Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha. Tashmishe Mitzvah are things that you do for a mitzvah, things that you use for a mitzvah, like a shofar, a lulav, a sukkah. Those are tashmishe mitzvah. Tashmishi Kedusha, so the Braisa says those are like the covering of a Sefer Torah, what we call in Yiddish, the mantle of a Sefer Torah, the bag that you use for your tefillin, the bima that you put the Sefer Torah on when you're reading from it. So in a, what the implication of the Gemara, sort of a step that's missing, that there's something called Kedusha, Kedusha Atzma, before Tashmishi Kedusha, and that is Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, things that have the Shem Hashem, or parashiyos of the Torah, written, kahalacha, those things have a kedusha. A talis, a shefer, doesn't have that kind of kedusha. But svarim, tefillin, and mezuzos that have psukim and have shemus of Hashem, that has an inherent level of kedusha. And the mela, the coverings, the bags, the boxes, the tables that are mishamish, these things, are called tashmishi kedusha. And those also have a level of kedusha, one step down from the kedusha atzma. On the list of tashmishi kedusha, it says tikshel sefer Torah, I think, nartik shel tefillin, uritsuwe sehen. The ritzuos of the tefillin are tashmishe kedusha. Tashmishe kedusha, because you have tefillin, which is kedusha atzma. You use this strap to attach it to your arm and to your head. So it serves the tefillin as tashmishe kedusha. But if Rashi is right, that the dalet on the kesher is a real dalet and the yud on the kesher is a real yud, these are oises of Hashem's name, then it's kedusha atzma. Just like the klaf inside, it's kedusha atzma, because it says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the ritzuos should be kedusha atzma because it says the Shem Shakai. Not the whole thing; it has two out of the three letters of the Shem Shakai are in the ritzuos. Those oisiyos should give it the status of kedusha atzma. And yet the Gemara says not like that. The Gemara says tashmishi kedusha nartik shel tefillin uritzuos sehen. Ritzuos are just tashmishi kedusha and not kedusha atzma. That's a raya that these oisiyos are not real oisiyos.
And the batim.
The batim, good question. So we're going to come to the batim. Okay. That's going to be the next part of the discussion.
Why would that be right? It's only two letters out of three. So if you had yud, hey,
yeah,
and a vav, and another hey, those letters independent of being together, is that a
okay, okay. That's a good ha'ara. Taisis is obviously is assuming that since they're meant to go together, meaning it's not even though it's true, when you look at the kesher of the Shel Rosh, all you see is a dalet, and just the dalet is not Hashem's name, but it's meant to be part of a set that makes it part of Hashem's name. And let's think of it this way: let's say you have a Shem Hashem written on a paper, right? Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Which of course has real kedusha of Shem Hashem, and there's an itzer mechika. Could I erase just one of the letters? That's also going to be aser, because even though I'm not erasing Hashem's whole name, but each letter has, or that's not even that's not a good example, because when I erase one letter, so I remove,
take away
the name. Let's put it like this way. Let's say I had a Shem Hashem that was written and it got cut up, and now I have the piece of cloth that has just the yud, but it's a yud that was part of Hashem's name. So that's going to have. Taisus certainly is assuming, and I think this. You know, I assume that this would be accepted, that would have the Kedusha of Hashem Hashem, because it was a part of the Hashem Hashem. So even though over here, they weren't once together and then removed, but if Rashi is right that they're part of a set, now Halacha Mishmisine was that your tefillin should have a shin over there, and a dalet over there, and a yud over there, so that collectively there should be Hashem Hashem, so each of the three individually would have the status of a part of the Hashem Hashem. And then it should have a din of kedusha. Yet the Gemara calls it tashmishi kedusha. Tosafot says that slugs up Rashi. That's how I see that Rashi, besides not being the simplest pronoun of the Gemara, it's not a correct vert that Rashi's saying. They're not really, they don't have a real kedusha.
Maybe the ritzuah is other than the dalet.
So this is the answer. So the Bach, that's the punchline that we're coming to. So the Bach comes to answer Tosafot's kasha and Rashi. And the Bach says that, again, according to Rashi, the kasha is according to Rashi that the dalet and the yud are real oisiyos. So why do we call them? Why does the Gemara call them tashmishi kedusha? Let them be kedusha atzma. So the Bach answers, emechanami, the dalet itself, that's kedusha atzma. The yud itself, that's kedusha atzma. But you have a 36-inch ritzua here, and there's 1 inch or 2 inches that are involved in making the kesher. But the other 30 inches, that's not involved in making the kesher, so that's just tashmish kedusha. The Bach says Rashi will learn that within the one ritzua you have a part that's kedusha atzma, and the rest of it is tashmish kedusha. Now, if Barry's giving this answer as, you know, as if this should be a devar pashut, so what was Tesis's kasha? Why did Tesis say that Rashi shver, as the Gemara calls it, tashmish kedusha? It has an ois. The ois is just 1 inch. So why can't the whole thing be tashmish kedusha and that 1 inch be kedusha atzma? Teretz is Tesis holds like the zayd of the Eliyahu Rabba. That if there's if part of the stone has Yaakov's head, then the whole stone has the chashivas of Yaakov's head. And if part of the ritzua has a kesher, then the whole ritzua has the chashivas of having that kesher. And if this kesher is an ois of Hashem's name, so this whole ritzua has the kedusha of being an ois of Hashem's name. That's the pshat and Tosfos kasha and Rashi. Rashi held not like that. The Bach was answering up Rashi that Rashi will hold like the Magen Avraham, but From Tosfos, l'chari, there's a raya to this svara that the Eliyahu Rabba wanted to say b'shem his grandfather. This svara, he retracted it because the Magen Shuv nidfa sefer Magen Avraham, so he retracted the halacha. But the kitaka be a makar to it from this Tosfos.
Wow.
Now, the Prima Gadim has a very interesting chiddush in a geya lamaisa. A chiddush in the Prima Gadim that has to do with this taste. It's a little bit me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa yinyan. We mentioned that the Braisa says nartik shal tefillin ritzuei sehen are tashmishei kedusha. So we were talking about the ritzuei. So what about the nartik? The nartik shal tefillin is a tefillin zekel, a tefillin bag. That's called tashmishei kedusha. The Prima Gadim is bothered that if the parashiyos are inside the batim, and then you have the bias of the tefillin is a leather box that holds the kedusha atzma. So the box should really be called tashmishi kedusha, in which case the bag around the box, that's tashmish shel tashmish, which is clear in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses that this idea of tashmish kedusha only goes one level, and the tashmish to tashmish that already doesn't have kedusha, wouldn't require geniza meikir adin. Nowadays we're much more machmer on these things. You know where I mean, the Gemara says befeirish that a talis is tashmish mitzvah, not tashmish kedusha. It's in the zrok and you're not throwing it in the garbage. We're not knowing like that. We're machmer to try to do geniza for a talis also. But the Ikar Adin, only Tashmish and Kedusha are to Unin Geniza. Tashmish de Tashmish is not to Unin Geniza. So, if I to Prima Gadim, the Nartik Shel Tefillin is 2 steps removed from the Parashiyos, so why does it have the Kedusha, even of Tashmish and Kedusha? So, the Teretz is because the Shel Roish has a shin on the bias. And therefore, the bias of the Shel Roish, that shin, according to Rashi, it's part of the Shem Shakai. According to Tosfos, even if it's not part of, there's no Dal, there's no Yud, but it stands for the Shem Shakai. So either way, I call that a Oitz of Hashem's name. So the bias of the Shel Roish is Kedusha Atzma. And the bias of the Shel Yad is not, but the bias of the Shel Roish is. And therefore, the Nartik Shel Tefillin is a Tashmish Kedusha because it's holding the bias of the Shel Roish. So the Prima Gadim has this fascinating Chiddush that he's dissecting the Tefillin, and there's a difference between the Shel Roish and the Shel Yad. The Shel Roish, its bias is Kedusha Atzma. The Shel Yad, its bias is only Tashmish Kedusha. Now, Kedusha Atzma and Tashmish Kedusha both are a degree of Kedusha. But the nafkamina is when you come to the next step, to the bag. If you'd have a bag for just a shel yad, that would be a tashmish to tashmish, and it wouldn't have any kedusha at all. A bag of a shel roish, that's tashmish to kedusha. Now the Gemara says nartik shel tefillin is tashmish to kedusha. You know, without discriminating, that's because Typically, if somebody has a tefillin zekel, you put both inside. Yeah. So every tefillin bag has a shalreish, and because of the shalreish, and the shalreish is kedusha atzma. So the ma'isa, every tefillin zekel in the real world will have the status of tashmish kedusha because of the shalreish. But theoretically, if someone would make a bag just for his shal yad, that wouldn't have any kedusha. That would be a tashmish, and they wouldn't have any kedusha.
We have the boxes.
So the prima godim is talking kind of theoretically because it would make a bag just for one, not the other. But nowadays, we won't have that because before they go into the bag, they have these plastic boxes. Now, I really wonder. I have no idea. I don't know how to research this.
The yud of the knot.
Oh,
Rashi.
Yeah. Okay. Very good point. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. I'm wondering about these. Obviously, they're somewhat new. Right? I mean, they're plastic. In the olden days, before plastic, did they have something like this made of something else, or did they just wrap up
the film? They covered it.
They
top.
Just covered the top, with what? Corners.
I have a very old pair of film.
Yeah,
and it's just the top.
What is it? A piece of leather? A piece of wood?
It's not leather. It's like cardboard. A very heavy cardboard. The tefillin are probably 200 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it
just covers the top.
Just the top.
Okay. So the titura is exposed. So then your tefillin zekel was holding the tefillin themselves. But nowadays that these plastic boxes, the whole thing goes in and it snaps shut. So the bag. So that does two things. First of all, it should make it that the bag l'chayra is just tashmish. On all counts, but we'll come back to that in a minute. But what it means is that these boxes will demonstrate the chiluk that the Prima Godim is making. The box of your shel roish is a tashmish kedusha. The box of your shel yad is not a tashmish kedusha. According to the Prima Godim, that could be, this is a nartik shel tefillin, but it's individualized. So the one for, since the shel roish, the bias is kedusha atzma. So the box, the plastic box, is a tashmish kedusha. But your shel yad, where the bias was already a tashmish kedusha, so the plastic box would be a tashmish to tashmish, which means that it has no restrictions. It has no kedusha. Now to make this very very practical, because you're thinking, you know, what's the person going to do with these already anyway? I mean, lemaisim, we're not throwing them out in the garbage. But ma'isim b'chol yoyim, people sit by shachris with their talis bag, tefillin bag in front of them, and these boxes there, and they have a sitter, and they pick up the sitter and they put it resting on that. You use it as a shtender. And now tashmishi kedusha I think it's a din d'oraisa that tashmishi kedusha you're not allowed to use for your own tzrachim. You're not allowed to put your sitter resting on those boxes. But according to the Prima Godim, there's a chiluk. The shel roish is aser, the shel yad will be mutter. The box of the shel yad, according to the Prima Godim, will be mutter. But the box of the shel roish will be aser, and I think that's something that people have to be nizer in.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
If the shel roish has more kedusha, why don't we start putting on the first? Why do we do shel yad?
That's a very good question. The shoshim v'shoshim v'inech yushtayim.
Yeah.
Yeah,
comic
book.
Yeah. But a sitter?
Like you put a sitter on the bima, is that a problem?
It's a mitzvah.
Is it a problem?
So I think by the bima, it really should be a problem. By the bima, I think there's what most people rely on is that there's an understanding when they built it that people are going to put other things there. It's like they were masna tanai. But I don't think that's true with these tefillin boxes.
You can't
leave
your sitter on
a chumash. Right, if you don't put a sitter on a chumash, the halach is kama v'chama. No, but it might be greater. It might be greater than a chumash. It's a chumash, after all, is printed. This is a real, you know, the tefillin is kedusha atzma l'chol adayis, and this is tashmishi kedusha. But so you can't put. I think one should be makbid not to put the sitter on those, not to lean the sitter on those boxes.
Put the boxes in the Bible, and then you can do it.
Interesting. I'm not sure.
in another bag.
No, if you put it into the towels bag.
In a plastic bag.
Right. Oh, yeah, but no, I'm not sure though, because what's elevating it? What's elevating it? It's really
the plastic.
You know, something stuck. I'm not sure. Lemaisa, this prima gadim is not accepted lahalacha. The bir the mishabur, the bir halacha, he shlugs it up. Meaning the kula of the prima gadim, saying that the packaging of a shel yad is a lower level than the packaging of a shel reish. Excuse me. He shlugs it up. He says that it's a very interesting raya. The Gemara in Brachas brings a steer between two braces. And one brace it says that you're not allowed to put money in your tefillin bag. Another brace says you are allowed to put money in your tefillin bag. So it's a steer between the two. So the Gemara says, like Kasha, one is before you used it for tefillin, one is after you used it for tefillin, because Hazman alav nilsa. In fact, the Bir Halacha, why did the Gemara just say one is a shal yad and one is a shal reish? If the Prima Gadim is right, that the bag of a shal reish has kedusha and the bag of a shal yad doesn't have kedusha. The Gemara should, they were two contradictory raises. Let the Gemara give that answer. So it seems from here that that we don't make this chiluk. And he also says the stimus of all the poskim is too great a chiddush that all the poskim brought down for you know hundreds of years, so many svarim, and it says that the nartik shal tefillin is tashmishi kedusha, and no one before the Prima Gadim ever said that's only true for the shal reish, not for the shal yad. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's too great a chiddush. We don't accept it. So what we assume is that they're all tashmishi kedusha, and the explanation is because we don't. I was saying before dissecting in terms of being mechalik between the shal yad and the shal reish, there's really there's a different dissection that's taking place over here, which is unwarranted. And that is the bias really something separate from the parashiyos? The way the Prima Gadim was looking at it was that the parashiyos, that's Kedusha Atzma. And the bias is just housing the parashiyos, so that's Tashmishi Kedusha, except the Shal Reish, because that has ice, so it becomes Kedusha Atzma. And what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, and the Mishnah Berurah never really speaks this out, but others explain a little bit more. Those that argue with the Prima Gadim, what they're saying is that the tefillin is a tefillin. And since there's parashiyos in there, so the whole thing is called Kedusha Atzma. The whole thing, but it's a little bit tricky, because it doesn't include the ritzuos, that's clear. The ritzuos, it says in the Brice, the ritzuos is the tefillin of something separate. So we do dissect it in that sense, but the bias is considered part of the tefillin. The tefillin contain parashiyos, and the bias, that is the tefillin, so it contains parashiyos. So that's what we'll call Kedusha Atzma. That's the position that seems to be accepted la halacha, and therefore la halacha we're makbid both on the shal yad and on the shal reish. So makbid in the sense that at least the plastic boxes we should consider off limits. Now, just to finish up, to come back to the question of the bag, right? The bag, the Gemara says the bag is tashmisha kedusha. Nowadays that we have plastic boxes. So maybe that really eliminates the whole halacha of a tefillin bag being tashmish kedusha. Not that it eliminates it; it just you know, moves it over. Of course, there's a halacha of nartik shel tefillin, but that nartik is now the plastic box. So what we call the tefillin zekel is l'chayre tashmish shel tashmish, and l'fizeh it should be mutter to put whatever you want into it. You know, the Gemara talked about putting money in; it should come out that it's mutter. The only thing is, you know, there's an argument to say that, la halacha, but the thing is, like you pointed out before, the plastic box gets everything inside except for the ritzua. Mm-hmm. Now, the ritzua, the Gemara says is just a tashmish, but the Bach had a shekel Torah that the ritzua really is part, and part of it is just tashmish, but part of it is Kedusha Atzma. The kesher, the Bach, according to Rashi, the kesher of the ritzua is Kedusha Atzma. And that goes into the tefillin bag exposed. So the tefillin bag is the immediate holder for those ksharim. So that might make it into a tashmish kedusha, into a real tashmish kedusha, in which case we go back to the halacha of the Gemara, that you're not allowed to put money in it. If you're not allowed to put money in it, okay, so practically speaking, nobody's putting money in it, but people want to know, what about putting a gartel in it? What about putting a mirror in it?
A sitter
or a sitter in it. So it's an interesting Kula from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says that the mirror is not an issue. Even if a sitter and a gartel could be asked, but the mirror is different because that's mishamish the tefillin. And you can't aster it out the kedushas that tefillin if it's there to be mishamish the tefillin. What do I mean to be mishamish the tefillin? It's to help people do the mitzvah of tefillin. Since it's to help people do the mitzvah of tefillin, he says that doesn't go into the halacha of nartik shel tefillin not being used for other things. This is not called other things, this is still for the tefillin. But what about a sitter? That already is other things. That, there's still a basis though to be matirit because, like we said, you could say that for the most part, these bags are just tashmish to tashmish. There is a mokum lahachmir, if we think of the kesher, the ritzua of the kesher, it's, you know, the Bach, Shekel Torah, Aliba Derashi, but it's a das yochid. The, you know, we don't pass like Rashi, most we shayin and assume like Tosfos. So make your idea, this is what Shlomo Zalman says, you don't really have to be chayish for that. And if you want to put something into the tefillin bag, you have what to be samech on. To consider the tefillin bag to be just a tashmish, don't abuse it by putting things that are really inappropriate, but a sitter, a gartel, the kinds of things that people want to put into the tefillin bag, you could do it based on this lumdus that nowadays, because we have the plastic boxes, the bag becomes just a tashmish to tashmish. Just one last point. This question about how to view the ritzua. So you were saying that the ritzua is bepashtos, right? Again, we said that there is a mokaim to consider the kedusha atzma, at least part of it. But bepashtos, right? If you say like this, not like Rashi, it's a lower level. It's tashmish kedusha, and that gives us a big kula vis-a-vis the tefillin zekel. But there's a chumrah that comes out also from this ha'ara that the ritzuos are a lower level kedusha. Again, if you assume not like Rashi, and the ritzuos are a lower level of kedusha, so then this is all from Shlomo Zalman. He says that there's a halach in the Mishnah Berurah that one has to be makbid. The Mishnah Berurah brings down a machlekes about it. Are you allowed? We know that we're makbid not to have a chatzitza for the tefillin, right? So you don't let anything, you don't put a, you don't let your yarmulke or anything else go between your tefillin and your body, your arm or your head. What about the ritzua? If the ritzua goes under the bias of the shalyad or the shalroish, is that a problem? Shmuel brings down two days about it. And since he brings in today, so the minhag goyim to be machmir, we try not to allow it. That's a different issue. No, I'm talking about a chatzitza in front of the bias, separating the bias from my arm. Shlomo Zalman says that shaila is totally on this. If you'd consider the ritzua to be kedusha atzma, if it had the same kedusha as the rest of the tefillin, it wouldn't be a chatzitza. But because we consider it tashmishe kedusha, a lower level, which gave us a kula lagabe the tefillin zekel, but that's a siva to be machmir that we should consider it a chatzitza because it's not part of it's not the same as the tefillin. It's something else. It's a lower level. That's where we're machmir not to let the ritzua go under the tefillin.
The smart, no. Smart, then we're two shalroshes. One on top of the other.